Okay, wir fangen wieder an. Herzlich willkommen zurück nach der Mittagspause zum spannenden Nachmittag hier im Storage Track in London. Den Anfang machen Werner Fischer und Georg Schönberger und die haben einen Vergleich gemacht: SSD zum Caching, einmal hardware-basierte Lösung und einmal eine software-basierte Lösung, die sie jetzt in den nächsten 45 Minuten vorstellen. Es gibt auch eine Programmänderung. Der letzte Vortrag, wie er ausgeschrieben ist, Programm findet nicht statt. Dafür ist der Hannes da und stellt Trawler HSM vor, einen alternativen Ansatz zur SSD. Das also als Ausgleich dazu. Ja, und dann am besten ich stelle mich selber vor, übergebe ich.
Ja, danke für die Einleitung. Nachdem der Vortrag im englischen Programm drin steht, will I try to switch to English now. Welcome to the afternoon session here in Berlin again. As mentioned, our talk is about SSD caching, device mapper-based solutions compared with hardware-based solutions. I'll just start with the agenda so that you can see what will follow in the next 45 minutes, and we try hard to keep it for the 45 minutes and see if we succeed or not. First of all, a short introduction, what we are doing, why we are looking at this topic, and then why going into the topic, what technologies are we using, are we testing, and what are the main features of different technologies here. To understand the performance results, we show also a few details on technologies, show the results and the test strategy, and very important at the end, the lessons learned of these tests. We are Georg Schönberger, and my name is Werner. We are working at Thomas Crane, and when we were thinking about how to start this topic, we just thought we want to do the things in the right way so that we can keep our girlfriends and other friends not too stressful in the afternoon times. And unfortunately, last night we didn't succeed. Georg went to bed, I think, at midnight or so, and we started in the morning again, but now the talk is finished. Introduction, where we are working. We are working for Thomas Crane, a hardware server vendor based in Bavaria, in Germany. We are located in Freyung, that's near the Austrian and Czech border, and we're selling server systems all over Europe. Georg and me are working from Austria. We have their technologies team sitting there looking at new technologies, and that's also the reason why we're looking at SSD, and especially also why we are looking at SSD caching technologies. So, just before answering the question, should I use SSD caching or not, I'd like to do a little quiz here. Just to know who of you is already using SSD or not. So maybe just raise your hand if you're already using your SSD. Okay, some people are raising the laptops too. Quite a lot of hands. It's nice to see, because last year we'd also talked about SSDs and there are not so many people who are raising their hands. So we are seeing still that SSDs are getting more and more popular. And yeah, especially for data volumes where you can still fit all your data on the size of an SSD. Which leads to the next question: why or when should I use SSD caching in combination with hard drives or not? And you see, Georg prepared this slide, and he's some kind of software developer, so he does the slide in a different way than I would have done it, but I'll try to explain it too. So if you know the size of the data set, and you know your RAM size, your available size, and this size is not enough for your data set size, for example, for the size of your database, and you have your access analyzed and have the results and already have done performance testing, then you should go further and run the function check for cache technologies. And in all the other ways, you need more information. So you see, it's quite a complex topic. You cannot start just using SSD caching and think everything is fine. And before going too much into details, I'll hand over to Georg, which who will show you the details how we've done the testing.
Okay, so the microphone is working. Thanks a lot. So first, I want to establish some wording so that everybody knows what I'm talking about. Every technology has its own wording for the caching technology, and I picked up the words from flash cache because they are well known and just simple words for caching technologies. And I first want to explain what is a write back cache. So a write back cache is also for speeding up the write operations and using the SSD for writing. And there's this little small word called lazy dirty cleaning, which is responsible for synchronizing the dirty blocks in the cache to our hard disks. For the other two caches, write through and write around mode, we are not speeding up write operations. We're just using the SSD for reading access, and there's a little difference between write through and write around. So in write through cache mode, the writes also going to the SSD and then synchronously to the HDD. And write around, this is really just read-only mode, where the writes go around, you know, as the mode says, around the SSD directly to the hard disk. So just to remember this slide, in the next, I think about 35 slides, there will always be these words present. Okay, I prepared some main features. So I will try to give you all my information about SSD caching that I collected from the vendors and from FlashCache, LSI, and Adaptec, and make a little comparison. I will start with the caching modes. So as I said before, FlashCache has support for the three caching modes, write back, write through, and write around. With CacheCade, you can use write back and write around mode, but write through mode, but not write around mode. And with MaxCache, there's this little exclamation mark, this little red sign, but it's quite important because you cannot make a redundant cache right now with MaxCache. So if you use write back caching with MaxCache technology, then it is possible that you lose your data if your SSD fails, because there are some dirty blocks in the SSD which are not synchronized to the hard disk. Okay, there are also some special modes like forced write back when the SSD is, but I will show you later that. So this is just for the caching modes, always remember that the modes that the technologies are supporting. The second thing is sequential I/O. When you think about sequential I/O, then maybe your disk weight behind your caching technology is faster for sequential I/O than your SSD. You know, some big SAS RAID 5, or I don't know, could be really faster than an SSD with sequential writes. And you also don't want to fill up your cache with sequential writes, because this is maybe not some useful data. And with MaxCache, sequential writes are always skipped. So you can write sequential I/O about 8 or 4 gigabytes to your SSD cache device, and this would not be cached. With flash cache, this is configurable via Swiss controls, and this is online configurable. You can say, okay, this is my sequential I/O threshold, and beyond this threshold, I don't want to cache sequential I/O. So this is really a really nice feature. And for CacheCade, I must say that I have no further information, sorry. Maybe I will pick up that later on. Okay, so topic 3 is our lazy cleaning. As I said before, lazy cleaning is for syncing the dirty blocks from the SSD to the hard disk. And with FlashCache, this is really dynamic. So via syscontrols, you can configure how you want lazy cleaning being done from the SSD to the HDD. This is based on an idleness, so I want to say dirty blocks that are not touched for about 15 minutes, I want to sync from SSD to HDD. Or there's also a threshold, if my cache exceeds 20% of dirty pages in my cache, then I want to start syncing in the background. This is also true for MuxCache. There is a flush and fetch rate and a dirty page threshold. So this is really nice to configure and always helpful. Topic 4 is the cache persistence. So when is the cache persistence across reboots or across node crashes or node shutdowns? For flash cache, only the write back cache is persistent. This is due to the fact that metadata for the cache is only present for write back caching on the SSD. For write through and write around, the metadata for the caching pages is only present in main memory. So there is also some discussion on the Google group mailing list for flash cache to implement write through persistent caching. It should not be that great topic. It's just a matter of synchronizing the metadata from main memory to the SSD on a node shutdown. Okay, so on a node crash, only dirty blocks are in a cache. So if a flash cache device or flash cache node crashes, then only the dirty blocks are in a cache. For Cachecade, the cache is persistent for all cache modes. So if the node is orderly shut down, then the cache is always persistent. And for MuxCache, on a dirty shutdown, in write through mode, the cache is discarded, and for write back, the whole logical volume phase. And on a clean shutdown, the cache is also persistent. Okay, comparison 5. There's an error strategy, how to present errors or SSD failures to the application. Okay, so for flash cache, there is no feature to switch from write back to write through mode if an SSD RAID 1 array and SSD fails, then this error is brought up to the application. But for Cachecade, it is switched automatically from write back to write through mode if your SSD array degrades. There are also some details on slide 24. If you want to take a closer look, you maybe watch this slide. And okay, so for write back max caching, if your SSD fails, then the whole logical volume fails. And for write through, I have no further information. Sorry for that. So with the hardware controllers, there is always some information I cannot get and I don't have. So it's kind of a black box. But for flash cache, it's open source. The hotspot detection algorithm is only present for the hardware controllers. Flash cache has no hotspot detection. It's just first in, first out dirty blocks in the cache or least recently used. Okay, so the next slide is for all the administrators out there. Okay, I don't know, can you read this? It's kind of small. But this is really helpful if you want to create SSD caching devices with FlashCache, Cachecade, and MuxCache. So the first figure shows the FlashCache commands for creating and destroying and loading a FlashCache device. As you see, you can combine two SSDs, or even you can partition one SSD and use those different partitions for different caching devices. You can even use a hard disk as caching device. As long as it's a block device, you can use it for flash cache. So maybe what would be intelligent is to create a software weight over two SSDs to make a redundant cache and use this as write back cache device for a hard drive. Okay, so the second picture is describing the Cachecade commands. Cachecade can also create redundant caches, and you can assign one caching device to a logical drive. This is just different wording. For MuxCache, as I said before, it is not possible to create redundant caches. You can create a cache pool with up to 8 SSDs. Then out of these SSDs, you create the cache pool, and then you set caching to a specific logical drive. said, I want to activate SSD caching for this drive, but you cannot specify a specific SSD. It's just the whole cache pool is then used for this logical drive. So if you want to, you know, play a little round with SSD caching and you don't know which commands to use, then maybe come back to this slide or write me an email that I'll do. Okay, so now we take a closer look. These are just some important features that are really specific for the different technologies. First, it's flash cache. So flash cache is developed and used by Facebook. Yeah, not all about Facebook is bad. And they're also using it in a productive environment. So they're using flash cache with writeback technology. Flash cache is open source for the programmers out there. They always need some help to extend flash cache. Maybe I have also some nice ideas for features, but I don't know if Thomas Frank will pay me for developing software. So get the code from GitHub and read it and check it out. You also can use and visit our IO stack diagram to know where flash cache is placed. So flash cache is based on the mcache and based on the Linux device mapper, like LVM, logical volumes, and it's easy to deploy, easy to compile, and easy to use. It's just one kernel module. You can compile it, load it, and use flash cache. So this is our IO spectra diagram that Werner composed, and it's also on our website, I think. Yes, it's on our open source website. So there's the block layer with the device mapper target, and flash cache is built up on device mapper. Sorry. So what are some highlights about flash cache? The replacement policy is online changeable. This is the replacement for dirty pages in the SSD cache. As I said before, it is first in, first out, or least recently used, and you can change that online. You can define process, blacklist and whitelist. If you want to only cache one application, whitelist this application process ID, and then only the block IOs from this application will be cached. Or you don't want to cache some I/O from a specific application, then blacklist this application. The cleaning of dirty box is configurable with a threshold and based on idleness, I've already said this. And there's also there are also tools to check and inject errors. If you want to inject and read cache error, then you can create this with a little script with syscontrols. This is really nice to check how is the flash cache device error reporting and how is my application reacting to these errors. And you can also have detailed cache statistics via the DM setup table command. I pictured this. So you can see in this slide, there are cache blocks on my flash cache device. This is from our few tests before Gigabyte. Our SSD was 32 gigabyte big. And the dirty person, it means the dirty blocks in the SSD cache are 12%. So I have 12% of dirty blocks in my cache. And I had in a retest a retake percent of 99%. There's also this nice little feature called size history. Flash cache only caches block IOs of 4 kilobyte size. So under the size of 4 kilobyte, the block IOs are not cached. So if you see an increasing the number 512, then you know the application is not accessing the 4 kilobytes. This is really nice for error searching and error finding. What are the considerations? Okay, so what is if my SSD fails? As said before, make your cache redundant, especially in write-back mode. With write-back, partial writes are possible. So on a node crashed, it is not guaranteed that writing to the cache is really done. There are ideas to fix this, but currently partial writes are possible, so there are not an automatic operation to write to the cache. And only the write-back cache is persistent across reboots and removals. Okay, next, we switch to LSI Cachegate. It's a hardware-based solution. We had some features from Cachegate before. the whole caching algorithm is in the controller, so you don't know how Cachecade is caching blocks. The algorithm is just, you know, you have to cope with that. And redundant SSD caches are possible. This is just important for write-back caching. Okay, this is the slide 24 for all those who want to check with error handling, but I will skip that. What are the configurations? So we had some really problems with testing Cachecade with Fio because there was some strange background initialization after creating the file system on our caching device. We assigned the caching device to our logical volume, then created the file system, and had then some strange access to our hard disks for about 5 minutes, writing with 100 megabytes to the hard disk, and we didn't know what this access was. So there was no application writing to the device. We won't do anything, but the hard disk was working with 100 megabytes and writing to the SSD. So for Fio laying out files, so Fio is laying out the data to the caching device, and we recognized that this data is not only going to the SSD, but also to the HDD in the background. So we thought that there are some background synchronization tasks, and this would really have an impact on our test results. So we insert a little break, like 10 minutes waiting to guarantee that our test results are correct. I've also written a little feature request to Fio. We'd like to have the option to only lay out the files and not start the test with Fio, so that we can synchronize our cache. And yeah, okay, so now we have a Thomas Brand create only feature in Fio. Thanks to Jens Axbühl for implementing that so fast. It was really implemented on the same day I requested the feature. Okay, so adapted max cache. There is this little manual, you can read that for creating the adapted max cache devices. Write cache should really not be used until now, except that you can cope with the fact that your data can be lost. So maybe you don't care about your data, but I started secure information systems. I'm always worried about my data. So maybe write cache with max cache is not the right option for you, because the redundant cache cannot be created. And the second feature, sequential I/O is not cached. But this is not really an impact, this is really a bad impact, because it really makes sense to not cache sequential data. And it also, max cache has hotspot detection logic compared to flash cache where there is no hotspot detection. Okay, so for all you waiting out there for some numbers and some charts, at the end it's always down to performance. So how fast is it? How much can I get out of it? So prepare to get this. I don't know, prepare to get really some slow results. And I even don't trust my own results sometimes. I always check them twice, because I am sure that the first results sometimes are really false. But if you read some manuals, people always promising you some fast animals, some really fast, I don't know, really fast cars. So I really promise you, test your own specific application. And if you want, we can help you. So don't hesitate to ask us. We are really appreciating helping you. And if you don't know how to test this or how that, or even if you want some test protocols for my test with the caching technologies, just write me an email. I'll give you the protocols or even create some charts for you. Okay? So this is the first test we made, is the bandwidth from a Fio reading test with 1 megabyte block size. This is really a throughput test. The small green points is the SSD performance, just plain SSDs, no caching around it, just the SSD on its own. The blue color is the flash cache, the red one is Cachecade, and the green one is max cache. As I said before, you can really see that max cache is not caching sequential I/O. So this is the 110 megabyte is the speed of the hard disk. Flash cache is really doing well. So flash cache is nearly at the performance of the SSD on its own, and cache grid is also doing that well. Some people may notice that the 16 gigabyte caching test drops out, and okay, so I will come to that later. The second test is writing. Okay, some people may think, okay, cache gate is faster than the SSD on its own, so this test is not right. Okay, so we were thinking about that a lot of time. And okay, so first you must consider there's also a cache on the controller on itself. So this is the controller cache, and also that we made field tests with page cache enabled, because we think that this is more realistic. If you want to test the caching device on its own without the page cache, then you must do your field tests again with direct enabled, so that the page cache, that you write around the page cache. But we think, okay, this is more realistic scenario, so we did our test with the page cache enabled. So that's why we have an SSD with write performance above 250 megabytes per second. But these numbers are quite reasonable. Okay, IOPS, always asking about IOPS with SSDs. Flash cache again at the top of the SSD on itself. Also, it's interesting to see that max cache can increase its performance when writing 16 gigabytes of random data and holding that performance with 32 gigabytes. Flash cache is really going down with 32 gigabytes. Okay, so Werner and I thought about that, and I must say that flash cache don't has the whole size of the SSD to its own, because there's also some metadata and file system data on it. And okay, we must analyze that further, why flash cache is dropping so much at 32 gigabytes. For random writing, this picture is really nice, because I don't know, there aren't any problems in it. So we hope to see some real numbers that aren't puzzling us. Okay, you see that max cache isn't performing very well with random writing. Maybe it's just because the random writing or the write cache isn't that developed currently or that used. Cachecade is about 1,000 IOPS with 32 gigabytes, and flash cache is, as always, very good performing because it's based. I don't know why it's so good performing, because it's just a simple device mapper software. Okay, so 2 points we still have to analyze. What is wrong with this picture? Okay, so the performance of flash cache is really dropping for random reads if it comes to the size of 32 gigabytes. We don't know why. We don't know in detail why. We have some ideas, but these ideas are not proved until now. So we have to analyze that further. The second thing is the performance drop of cachecade with 16 gigabytes. So you see there is the read performance with 1 megabyte block size for 1, 4, and 8 jobs. We are also doing some parallel IOs to the cache device, but we cannot say why the performance is dropping that much with cachecade. So we have no idea. So maybe we will ask some developers from cachecade, or we had some problems when testing with field. Okay, this is already some lessons learned avoiding errors while testing. A little summary from us. Okay, so a well-known error is this IDE AHCI topic with SSDs. Just be sure to have the right mode enabled in your BIOS. But I think this is well known. The second thing is we discovered that X4 is having some lazy initialization in the background from the inode tables. So we made a test. We just created a really new file system and nothing else, and there was file IO to the disk. Okay, so we thought, okay, what is this file IO? And then we analyzed on the block layer which application is accessing our caching device. And it came up that lazy initialization of X4 is done. You can disable that so that all the inode tables and all the metadata of the file system is created when executing the mkfs X4 command. So you can skip that, but it really takes a long time to create the file system for 1 terabyte. This is about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so to create all the inode tables. Also consider with Cachegate that there's a cache initialization at the beginning of creating the cache. So don't start the test right after you created the file system. As I said before, we inserted some break right after mounting the caching device. The test data will few lays out the files, and then you must consider that these files are in your cache. So use our create only option, sync your cache so that the data is on the hard disk and that your cache is empty, and then start the test. While testing, consider that you use the page cache or you specify the direct parameter so you don't use the page cache. And at the end, consider to destroy the cache and that all the data from the cache is sent to the hard disk so that you can prepare for the next round and start with a really clean cache. Okay, so what have we learned in our presentation? You really have to test your own application. You cannot take feel and say, okay, I'm making a sequential read and write test, and then, okay, this performs well for SSD caching, so I can say this performs well for all applications. Get a comfortable testing tool and rebuild your application, you know. If you know that your application is doing a lot of writes and no reading, or doing a lot of reads and no writing, then you can use the right caching technology. Know how and what to test. Consider our problems that we discovered, that you think about that, and that you can explain your test results. And always check your test results twice, visualize it, and test your numbers against some real-world statistics. So you can be sure that your numbers are realistic ones. And for a first attempt, you can test with flash cache. It's really easy to use, and yes, there are no problems to start with that. Okay, so I'm at the end of my talk, and I would really be pleased to answer you some questions. Do not hesitate to ask us. Do not hesitate to ask for some test protocols, or you need some charts, then I will generate that for you. So we are now there to answer some questions if you have one.
Thank you. So we still have some minutes left, so you can ask questions right now if there are still any questions.
Hannes?
Yeah. Have you measured baseline performance like hard drive?
The hard drive was about 110 megabytes per second.
So you get a phone benefit of what, 50% at max, right?
For flash cache, yes.
So, and with the normal you get about 20% performance increase, right?
Pardon?
With the normal, with the others, you get about 20% performance increase.
20% performance increase? For what?
Against the comparison to the baseline. Because if you just start, right, these are the numbers that I'm getting, but
yes.
You have to put in the baseline, like what are we comparing against? Basically, adding an SSD doesn't give you any benefit.
Yes.
Because that's my point here. I mean, nice that you have an SSD, but if your house is fast enough, you won't be getting rally benefit out of it.
Okay. Maybe I do not understand that question well.
I know we're really talking about mounting was that for the first kind of tests with Cachegate, for example, they are doing no caching with sequential IO, and they get information beyond the baseline of the hardware. For the other caching tests, the IOPS testing, we see always an increasement of the performance. And with the hardware, we have about 120-150 maximum IOPS per hardware. And you've seen the numbers, they are between 4,000 to 16,000 IOPS with one job. So we saw an increasement there. But it just depends really on.
CPU is laying out files. It is laying the files onto the device, and then it is invalidating the page cache. So, for example, with flash cache, if you make a read test, then you lay out the files into the cache, then the page cache is disabled, and then you can read this file from the cache. And then?
Yeah, of course, but you have to see benefits. For example, if you have one cache or one cache, how you mentioned it, you have to read, for example, that the same resolution flags of the cache can have a chance to cache the data, otherwise.
Yes, for cache, we did that. We always made two runs to ensure that the data is in the cache.
Okay, so we did two runs, okay. But then the next question is, how big was your cache compared to the red data set? So, let's go back to your picture. Maybe you did some test on 1 GB, on 2 GB, on 4 GB. And how big was your cache then?
So our cache device was 32 GB. And we reduced that with host protected area because our SSD had 160 gigabytes and reduced that to 32 gigabytes.
But your cache device was at a size of 32 gigabytes.
Yes.
And your data set was always smaller than 32 gigabytes.
Not really. It was up to 32 gigabytes. And beyond, it always comes down to hard disk performance.
Yeah, but the active data set you read was always below 32 gigabytes.
Yes, because.
But then it doesn't make any sense because the cache none of the time would be full. So if you have a really good cache, you would expect that your cache always gets you SSD performance. Because if your cache is smaller,
maybe you can activate another microphone just to answer. Where?
We're also testing 64 gigabyte. We can do it for every test scenario because time was running out for 4 weeks. We are doing multiple technologies. We had for each technology 96 tests. So it just takes many days also in this data set to just produce the data set. And we also wanted to see how the technologies perform when it's guaranteed that the data is in the cache. As you've seen in the comparison chart, many of the technologies, or for example flash cache, is doing no hotspot detection. We have no hotspot detection. It's ensured that when you go beyond the size of the things you're testing, you will see degraded performance on your applications where, for example, data store with, imagine just, for example, now on web shop, we have a whole media library where just there are pictures of lots of servers, of controllers and stuff like that. And we do not want to separate them to analyze which photos are of the access, which are not, and keep them somewhere else. We want to have one unified file system. And for these things, it just would make sense to get it out then we're resorting then on the static technologies. But you're right, it's also very interesting to see when you are beyond the data set. But this was just a thing of time and also that many technologies are not performing that well. You have the best benefit when you have a need for a cache or your data set is bigger than your access memory. And it just really fits onto your SSD. When you're going beyond, you will often see it drop down. With your harder disk technologies where you have the hotspot detection, you will have the possibility that you can do better here. So all the technologies have the pro and cons, and there is no winner out here. You really have to check your application.
Okay, yeah, maybe you.
Okay, you maybe you come to our booth later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the next video is already there, and we need to change the setup. So again,